plays with you.
That's what you think it is?
Lannery asks.
Playing?
Dan Powell smiles enigmatically.
A turn of phrase.
So what will happen?
Happen?
To Dale.
It's the other Jedi who replies.
We ensure that he's fit and well, unharmed from his escapades, and then we will arrest him and escort him from Anil Kesh first thing in the morning.
Escort him where?
The Jedi's face is grim.
Once beyond the temple, he can go where he wishes.
Banishment, Lannery says.
I think we'll actually be saving his life.
So is this how my brother's sad story ends?
Lannery wonders. But she thinks not. Dale has a weight to him, increasing the farther he removes himself from the Force. In her dreams, at their worst, his end comes with terrible greatness.
I'd like to wait here for him, she says.
The cloud chaser has touched down now, visible between skeins of low cloud.
Speak to him when he arrives.
I'll wait with you.
The Jedi bows.
Journeyer Scott Yoon.
Lannery starts to object, but she realizes it was not a request.
Lannery Brock, she says.
I know.
Scott Yoon smiles.
Afterward, bring him down to me, Dan Powell says. I'll go to make sure the medical bay is ready to receive those others still sickening.
Yoon bows his head as the master turns and leaves. Lannery watches her go, surprised at Dan Powell's confidence in Dale's well-being.
I'll fetch your jacket for you, Yoon says. It can grow cold out here.
It takes Quan Zhang and the others a surprisingly long time to reach the temple from the landing zone. Yoon tries talking, but Lannery is too distracted and troubled to enter into any meaningful conversation. Most of the time she stands with her eyes closed, her thoughts her own. It is Yoon who finally announces their arrival. They arrive at the temple on foot, Master Quan Zhang in the lead. There are 10 people behind him, 3 being carried on stretchers. Even though she sees Dale with them, he seems to walk alone.
I'll go to meet them, Yoon says. Wait here and I'll bring your brother.
Lannery waits and watches. They climb the leg onto the temple, and Yoon meets them at the far end of the viewing platform. Dale seems even more apart from them all than she first thought. There is no expression on his face, and he doesn't seem to acknowledge where he is at all.
He's more hurt than Master Dan Powell let on, Lannery thinks.
But she still wants him close so that she can assess his condition for herself. And she realizes that though it has only been 4 days, she has missed her brother. Quan Zhang and the others move off into the temple, and Yoon touches Dale's shoulder. Then the two of them walk toward Lannery, across the viewing platform that is buffeted by winds from below and heavy, warm raindrops from above.
Dale,
she says as they reach her, but his expression gives her pause.
So serious. So adult.
There's something expanded about him, as if since she saw him last, he has grown to fit the world he will live in. He seems assured, too, and confident, even though his skin appears burned, his eyes puffy and red.
I came to say goodbye, Lannery, he says.
The words are strange and unexpected. He turns to leave, and Scott Yoon stands before him.
You're to be arrested, and
the journeyer begins.
There are such depths,
Dale says. He is speaking directly to Lannery. She wonders whether these are the last words they will ever share.
What did you see?
She asks.
Things you never can.
His eyes are so bright they seem to glow.
Such promises and opportunities down in the abyss. Such depths of history and potential. And now I must go elsewhere to find something more. And so...
Dalian Brock,
Yoon says.
You're to accompany me to...
Dale strikes out. Lannery sees it coming and is surprised that Yoon did not. But though the journeyer may be comfortable at Anil Kesh, he has yet to visit Stav Kesh to learn the martial arts. Dale's fist connects with his chin, and as Yoon leans back, Dale spins and kicks him in the face. Another punch as he falls, and Lannery hears bones break even before Yoon strikes the metal platform.
Dale!
Lannery shouts, but she sees her brother's determination. I cannot lose him now! She goes for him, reaching out, wishing to hold him and try to undo everything that has passed between them since leaving home. It is a naive wish, and one that suits a child more than the Jedi woman Lannery is becoming. But familial love is a powerful force in itself. From the corner of her eye, she sees Scott Yoon lift himself on one elbow and then raise his other hand, pointing toward Dale.
No! She shouts. Don't try to...
She will always wonder whether her voice gave Dale warning, and whether, in fact, she wanted that. The moment she speaks, Dale crouches and spins on one heel, his robe billowing as he brings one hand out from beneath its folds. His blaster coughs. Scott Yoon cries out and is shoved across the platform by the impact. Blood bursts from his back, and his clothing smokes.
Dale!
Lannery breathes, feeling weak and suddenly hopeless. This is the point when everything goes too far.
Goodbye, Lannery,
he says again. And then he is gone, dashing across the platform and climbing a sloping ladder fixed into the temple's curved wall. She should stay to help Yoon. She kneels briefly by his side and examines the wound, and though still breathing, she knows that he will not survive. Lannery should stay to tell Master Dam Powell what has happened. But instead, she chases her brother. Up onto the temple's high wall, across its curved roof where deep ditches channel water and moss makes the surface treacherous. Following his distant shadow through the increasing downpour until he scurries down one of the massive legs towards solid ground. Her first great journey ends, and her pursuit of her brother begins.
Your brother did this?
Tree gasped.
So he said. But how?
A word in the right ear? A rumor, a threat, a challenge? A murder?
It's monstrous. It's terrifying.
Lannery could not argue. The air was filled with violence. Smoke, screams, the pounding and roaring of weapons, and the groaning and grinding of the giant dome under stress. They had emerged onto a balcony just above the base of the central tower. To the west was the previously damaged area of the dome, with its massive buttresses and chaotic-looking repairs sealing it from the toxic air outside. And to the south, an attack was underway. Several large parts of Greenwood Station's dome had been destroyed.